Morning, River West. Great to see you. Happy Memorial Weekend. As you're getting settled, grab your Bible, grab your bulletin, if you want to grab a pen for some note-taking. Welcome if you're a guest or visitor. I see new faces. Great to have you today. Today's a Communion Sunday, so after the message and after our time in the Word, we'll go to the table together as a family and take communion. And we're excited because we just launched into a brand new series of teachings here out of the book of Galatians, chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, you can get prepared by opening there, the book of Galatians. And our series is about the Holy Spirit, as Eric mentioned, calling the series Spirit Life. It's a very exciting thing that we're going to be looking at together. And I honestly can't think of a better thing we could do together than to get into the Word together and study and think and pray and grow. So we're going to do that this morning. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about leadership. And actually, specifically, what I want to talk about is the impact of really good leadership on a person who is willing to follow. Willing to follow. Have you ever had a person in your life who was just a super strong leader, and it just impacted you and blessed you and had some kind of transforming effect on your life? I think many of us have. Many of us would say there's real power in strong leadership, power for positive things to happen. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been blessed by having all of these amazing leaders in my life who've influenced me, women and men who have taught me and instructed me, counseled me. Maybe they were there during a difficult time to share something encouraging or maybe an exhortation. And in particular, this morning, I want to talk about one leader in particular whose name is Jeff, who is a pastor that Kathy and I have known for many years. He was the man who did our wedding, did our premarital counseling. Jeff was the guy who actually led my wife to faith in Christ when she was a little girl. And over the years, Jeff has just been an incredibly influential leader in my life. And so as I was thinking about how to talk to you a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and I started thinking about leadership, which is our theme today, I started thinking a lot about Jeff and how thankful I was for his impact in my life. The first time that I met Jeff, I actually didn't meet him in person. I met him through a video that he made just for me. I was a 20-year-old college kid, and I wanted to go down to California to visit Kathy before we were dating, okay? Kathy was down in California, and she was interning for the summer at the church that Jeff was a pastor at. She was staying at his house and interning at this church. And so I decided, I want to fly down and I'm going to visit Kathy. Well, it just so happens that the weekend that I flew to California, Jeff and Debbie, his wife, were away. They were not going to be at the house. So when I showed up to the house, Kathy was there waiting for me. And she was like, "Hey, Adam, glad you're here. Listen, Jeff made me promise that you would watch this video right away, all right?" It was a VHS tape. This tells you how long ago this was. So we stuck it into the VCR, remember those? And we hit play, and there was Jeff. I'd never met him before, didn't even know what he looked like. And he was like, "Hello, Adam, welcome to my home." He had made this video for me with one of those massive camcorders, you know. So here he is. He's like, "Welcome to my home. I just thought I would just greet you and tell you a little bit about my home since I'm not going to be here while you're visiting." And he said, "Here's the kitchen." He kind of took me on a tour. They didn't have selfies at that point, so he had somebody following him around. And he was like, "Here's the kitchen." And then he walked to one extreme end of the house, all on camera. And he said, "Now, Adam, welcome." And he just said, "I want you to know, this is the side of the house where your room is. And now I'm going to show you." And he walked across all the way to the other end of the house. And he said, "This is the side of the house where Kathy's room is. And at night, when Kathy goes to bed, she's going to go to bed in this room. And at night, when you go to bed, you're going to bed in this room." And I thought, I love this guy. This guy is a piece of work. I want to follow this guy. over the years, Jeff would invest in me. Some of the most challenging things that I've ever heard were said to me by Jeff. Some of the most encouraging things that I've ever heard were said to me by Jeff. When I hit a really difficult patch in my life a few years ago, a patch of real personal pain and conviction, one of the first people I called was Jeff. And he just comforted me and spoke words of encouragement. And all along the way, I kept having this same experience where I thought, there's something about Jeff that I just want to follow him. He's such a gifted leader. And it's not just even about his giftedness, it's about his heart. It was as if I thought, I trust Jeff. I believe that he actually loves me. And he's the kind of leader that I really want to follow and listen to and seek counsel from. So I thought about this and I thought, you know, there's two sides to great leadership. There's the leader, but also there's the heart of the person who's the follower. Do you want to follow? It's a question I'm going to ask all morning long. And here's what I want to suggest this morning, River West. What I want to remind you of is that if you are a Christian, did you know that you have access to the most gifted leader of all time? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is in you is the perfect leader. The perfect leader. And he's indwelt you. Jesus poured out his Spirit on the church, and Scripture tells us that every believer is a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reason that Christ sent his Holy Spirit in part was to lead and guide your life. If you're a Christian, you have access to perfect leadership. And the question that I want you to think about throughout this sermon is, do I have the heart of a follower? Do I have the heart of a follower? That's what Galatians 5 is about. So will you look with me now, and I'm going to read to you the verses we're going to look at this morning. Galatians 5, we're only going to tackle three verses. I'm going to tell you more about that in a minute. Our passage is verses 16, 17, and 18 today. Will you look at it with me? Paul said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit," underline that phrase, "if you are led by the Spirit, then what? You're no longer under the law." Paul says, if you're led by the Spirit. Paul has in mind leadership. That little phrase, led by the Spirit, to be led. In the Greek, it means to be led. Okay? That's what it means. It's very simple. Paul is talking about this concept of the Holy Spirit as our leader. Our leader. Last week, when we introduced our new series, I introduced it with a question. And the question was, what do you expect of the Holy Spirit? Remember that? If you weren't here, we laid a lot of groundwork last week, so you can hear that online. But I got a lot of feedback about that because a lot of people came and said, man, I need this series. I don't know what to expect of the Spirit. I have no idea what I should be looking for. I don't know what it means to live in the Spirit. Like, I'm so thankful we're going to study this passage. And what I'm going to suggest today is that the key, the absolute key to understanding your relationship with the Holy Spirit is to think of him as a leader, as a leader. Now, here's what I'm going to show my cards today, okay? And here's what I'm going to say to you. Galatians 5, verses 16, we just look at 16, look at your Bible. I want you to in your Bible today because 16, 17, and 18 are three of the most complex verses in the entire New Testament, okay? So just scan over the words. Today we're going to need to be talking about this phrase, gratify the desires of the flesh. What in the world is that about? Gratify the desires of the flesh. And then now look at verse 17 in your Bible. We're going to talk about this battle that Paul describes. Paul talks about almost like this war that's being waged inside of a Christian between the spirit and the flesh. And a Christian needs to understand, well, what in the world is Paul talking about? What will happen in my life if I can get to a better understanding of this battle that's going on? Okay, and then in verse 18, Paul's going to talk about the leadership of the Spirit, and then he's going to use this phrase, you're no longer under the law. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is deep stuff. It's the perfect sermon to preach on Memorial Weekend, right? No. But here's what I'm going to suggest. The key to get the meaning of all of this is to go back into these verses and to look at them through the lens of what is the Holy Spirit doing as my leader? He's the primary actor. Okay, well, what is he doing? What should I be looking for? Maybe it's not so much what do I expect of the Holy Spirit, but what does the Holy Spirit expect of me? What's my role in this whole leadership relationship? So I'm going to suggest today that there are three things that the Spirit does. I'm going to put these up on the screen now so you can write them down. These provide the outline for the whole sermon today. Three things the Spirit does as your leader, okay? Number one, the Spirit directs. That's verse 16. We're going to get into that. Number two, the Spirit desires. Really interesting. We'll have to spend quite a bit of time on this concept. The Spirit desires? What? Okay. And number three, the Spirit delivers. He directs, he desires, and he delivers. And he does these things because he's the perfect leader. And I want to know what my response should be. So let's start with number one, the Spirit directs. This is the key to understanding verse 16 where Paul says, walk by the Spirit. We talked about this phrase last week. It's a figure of speech that was very common. And if you said to walk, what you were referring to is how you conduct yourself, how you live your day-to-day, moment-by-moment life. And Paul seems to believe that a Christian is a person who lives in such a way that each moment of their life, each step, each thought is somehow intimately influenced by the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And it reminds us, I've got a role to play in this relationship. He's the leader, yes, but that doesn't mean that my role is completely passive. I'm not a horse being pulled around by a bit in my mouth. There's something that I contribute to this relationship. He's leading, and my job is to posture myself with an attentiveness. So right now, you could even stop and you could just sort of think about, what's the condition of my heart right now? Is my heart attentive to the Spirit? Am I yielded to him in some way? Do I want to follow him? Am I looking for his direction? The Spirit wants to direct you. So am I the kind of Christian who lives moment by moment thinking, Spirit, what are you wanting to do right now to direct me as a Christian? Verse 16 makes one of the most staggering promises in the entire book of Galatians. We look at it again with me. Paul said, but I say walk by the Spirit. And now look at this phrase. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The first phrase is a command. Walk by the Spirit. And Paul says every Christian should do that. So he commands Christians. The second phrase is kind of like a promise. Paul's saying, you know what will happen in your life if you are a person who walks by the Spirit? What'll happen is you won't gratify the desires of your flesh. Now look, that is a staggering promise, all right? As my dad used to say, that's the kind of thing that'll make your socks go up and down, you know, whatever that means. But it's amazing. Okay, think about it. No Christian should read past that and just go, yeah. Okay, every Christian should read that and go, Paul, what are you saying? Are you actually saying that if I was a person who walked by the Spirit, I would no longer gratify the desires of my flesh? How can that possibly be? And that is what Paul's saying. And here's what I think he means. I think what Paul's saying is, you can't do both of those things at the same time, right? That makes a lot of sense. You can't do both things at the same time. If my heart is turned upwards in a posture of attentiveness, I'm yielding to the Spirit, I will not be in that moment gratifying the desires of my flesh. That word gratify is like to just quench your thirst. It's like the great way to say it. If the desires of your flesh are like a thirst, to gratify them is to drink until you get your fill. And Paul says, if you're yielding to the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, you won't be doing that. But if you're doing that, if you're out there trying to quench the desires of your flesh, you're almost certainly not walking by the Spirit. That makes sense, doesn't it? That makes sense. So this is just staggering. And what I want to do is I want to tell you two totally crucial things about this. You should probably write these down only because I'll ask you to think about them this week. There's two truths here you got to understand about the direction of the Spirit in your life. Here's the first one. When the New Testament talks about the Spirit's guidance, the predominant focus is on your holiness. So think about this. When the New Testament says the Spirit's directing you, most of the time the context is on personal holiness. That's like at the top of the Spirit's agenda is what's happening in your heart, in your life. Are you becoming more and more like Jesus with every passing day? The big fancy word we use for that is sanctification, to be made holy, to be made more like Jesus. And that is the focus of his directing work as he's prompting you and leading you and guiding you. Most of the time, what he's really after is, hey, sister, are you becoming more like Jesus in your life? Now, this is interesting because I don't know about you, but in my experience, so much of the time when I hear people talking about how the Spirit is guiding them, they're not talking about holiness. They're not talking about their personal internal holiness stuff. Often they're talking about other kinds of things, outside things, external things. Sometimes even what we might say, like the really spiritual stuff. Oh, the Spirit was really guiding me and I really felt like I should go and ask this woman to be my wife. You know, it was like super spiritual. So it's always the young man walking up to the woman. The Spirit spoke to me and he told me to ask you out on a date, right? And she's like, and the woman's like, well, he didn't tell me that, right? It's always something like that. It's like something that's external. And what I'm trying to get you to see is, isn't it interesting? So much of the time what the Spirit's guidance is really about is the stuff that's internal. If a young man came to me and he said, Adam, the Spirit has led me to ask your daughter to be my wife. You know, I would say, okay. Well, let's test that, Spirit, shall we? That's biblical, right? Let's test that. But if a young man were to come to me and say, you know, Adam, the Spirit is really talking to me and guiding me about some sin in my life, some holiness stuff, you know, or the Spirit's been talking to me about my arrogance, I would say, I'm almost positive that's the Holy Spirit. Because that's part of his work is to convict. To convict you and guide you. And when you feel the Spirit pressing, you know that feeling? You feel that pressure and something in you is saying, I'm not supposed to, I should not do this right now. It's not going to go well. Or that attitude that I've been harboring, I feel the Spirit pushing on that. That's definitely the Holy guiding you, directing you. Okay? Here's one other thing I'll say about it. He's the leader, and that means he's not going to follow you. Okay? He's not going to follow you. It's got to be the other way around. He's a strong leader. He's an assertive leader. He's a perfect leader. And it makes sense then. That helps me because I want to know my role. I want to know my role, and my role is to follow. And I can tell you right now, the times in my life where I've gotten myself into the most trouble is when I'm trying to tell the Spirit what to do rather than the other way around, right? Some of you are looking at me like, I know what you're talking about, okay? So he's the leader, and we're supposed to follow him. Now, okay, most of you are thinking, this is great. I totally want to follow the Spirit, but I still am, I'm fuzzy about what that actually looks like. You know, when I get up and walk out the door, what does it look like for me to walk by the Spirit for him to direct me? And sometimes the best way to know what to do is to learn what not to do, right? Learn what not to do. And it's interesting, the New Testament tells us a lot of things not to do in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I put together a little summary, and actually I made a little half sheet, so I don't want you to write these down because when you leave, these are out there. You can grab one when you go. I put this little survey together, and I'm going to put it on the screen. So did you know that the Bible says that, okay, in your relationship with the Spirit, did you know that you can resist the Spirit? That's an interesting word. You can grieve the Spirit, and you can quench the Spirit. Now, those are bad. Don't do those, okay? Those are the bad ones. Resist the Spirit, that's Acts, that's Stephen. He's giving a speech, and he's talking to people who are unbelievers, actually. And he's saying, you guys keep resisting the Holy Spirit, you're stiff-necked. And Stephen's thing is, that's a spiritually dangerous thing to do, to resist the Spirit. But then Paul uses the word grieve the Spirit in the context of Ephesians is sin. You grieve the Spirit when you willfully decide, even though you know it's not his desire, you decide to continue to do something that's sinful, especially the kind of stuff that harms the community. The way we use our words. If I walk up to one of you and I say something extremely rude and it harms Christian community, Paul would say, why are you grieving the Holy Spirit? Don't do that. Okay? And then the third one is quench. And the context of Thessalonians was, Paul was talking about, you know, when the Spirit prompts you and you sense he's giving me some direction, if I decide, I don't want to do that though. Has that ever happened to you? You can sense him saying, here's what I want you to do. And then you go, man, I don't want to do that. And you decide, I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear that or something. And suddenly Paul's like, no. Now you're quenching the Spirit. Don't do that. Okay? Well, here's some things you can do. Here's the next list. You can ask Jesus for the Spirit. Okay? That's in Luke. You can be filled with the Spirit, back in Ephesians. A Christian is indwelt by the Spirit, but then Paul says, you know what, every day you could ask for a fresh filling. That's a great prayer. Father, fill me again. I need help today. I want direction. And also you can walk by the Spirit. That's Galatians. So when you're trying to figure out what does this look like, start with what not to do. And at the heart of it all is this idea that he's the leader and he actually wants to direct your life into personal holiness. And always the question is, when I wake up tomorrow, do I want to be a follower of the Holy Spirit? It's a great question to ask. He directs. Okay, so here's number two, though. The Spirit desires. The Spirit desires. Now, when you hear that, you're probably thinking, what does desiring have to do with leadership? Like, what does it mean the Spirit is desiring something? What does that have to do with his leadership in my life? And what do his desires have to do with my holiness? So now we're ready to understand this battle that Paul talks about in 17. Will you look at it again with me? Chapter 5, verse 17. Paul says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And then Paul says, and just so you know that the feeling is mutual, he turns it around and he says, and not only that, the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. And these are opposed to each other. And it's like Paul is describing this super intense conflict that's raging inside of the heart of a believer. These are believers. There's this battle going on. And the battle is, there's two sides of the battle. In one corner, you've got your flesh. And in another corner, you've got the spirit. And both of them are desiring. And those desires are always in opposition to one another. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I immediately think, that sounds a lot like my life. Right? That's exactly the way I would describe my life at any given moment. So I feel like this tension going on. Paul described it in Romans 7, and he said, there's these things I want to do, but the things I want to do, I find I'm not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I find those are the things I'm doing. And I'm constantly living in attention, right? And what's more, Paul says, now, this is super interesting. He says, it's a battle of desires. So your flesh is presenting desires, and the Holy Spirit is presenting desires. And then it's like those desires are just pressing against each other in constant conflict. This is complex. So let me explain just a minute what I think Paul's saying. I think when Paul talks about our flesh, he's talking about our old nature. He's talking about who you were before Christ saved you. And who you were before Christ saved you was the old person born in sin and born with all of these sinful desires, and those desires were expressing themselves freely. And then you became a Christian, and you were filled with the Holy Spirit, and you were born again. The Bible uses the analogy of a new birth, birth by the Spirit. And now you're no longer that old person. Now you're a new creation in Christ, filled with the Spirit. And think about this. When the Spirit fills you, he brings into your heart all of his desires. And that's how he leads. So you have the Spirit desiring, but then you have sort of this leftover old person, and some of those old desires are still in there. Some of them are habits, and that old person, the flesh, that thing is desiring as well. And then there's this conflict that goes on. And I don't know about you, but I think that that can explain almost every situation that we walk into. We're just a complex cocktail, okay, of all kinds of different desires. Some of them are really good. Some of them come right from the Holy Spirit. Some of them I know. That's where did that come from? Why am I desiring that? That's my flesh. Somehow the leftover flesh part presenting a desire. A young man sits down at a computer to write a devotional about what he's learning from the Bible. And when he sits at the computer, his heart is full of really good, godly desires that the Spirit has been pressing on his heart. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to process. I want to put down everything that Jesus is saying to me. And he's sitting at the computer, and he decides to go to the internet, and when he opens the internet, a pop-up comes up. And suddenly, there's another desire. And it came from within. And that desire now presents itself. And suddenly he's going, oh, no, wait a minute. There's a conflict. For a while there, my desire was good and godly, and it was a Spirit-presented desire. Now I have another desire. Where the heck did that desire come from? It came from within me. And those two desires are in conflict with each other. And now this young man has a question to ask, which desire is going to win the battle? Which desire will win? And maybe even more importantly, not just which desire will win, but which desire do I actually most want to do, which will bring me the most joy and goodness in my life? Or a woman is in a conversation with a friend, and she comes to the conversation with a godly desire to listen and love and extend grace to this friend. And as she's listening, her friend says something really hurtful. like a zinger, boom. And immediately, there's a new desire. She had the old desire, oh, the spiritual desire, the desire to love and listen and extend grace. Now there's the new desire to reach across the table and slap her friend. No, no, it's not that extreme. But it might be something like that, with a phrase, or maybe just a thought, or maybe something she'd say later to another friend. Men do this too, by the way. Okay? Now she has a battle. Which desire will win? Which desire comes from the Holy Spirit? Or a husband is driving home from work. This could be a wife too, a long day. You're driving home. It's been an exhausting day. You're totally wiped out. But you have a desire that the Spirit has pressed on you, and the desire is, I want to walk through the door. I want to spend time with my kids. I want to embrace my spouse. I want to serve and love. I want to be a spiritual leader. I want to represent Jesus when I walk through the door. And you get to the door and you swing the door open and it looks like a bomb went off in your house. The kitchen's a disaster area. The kids are screaming. They're at each other's throats. Your spouse is sweating. And immediately you have a brand new desire. Click. You want to leave. Right? Or you open the door and your spouse immediately says, why did you leave the house such a mess? And you have another desire, right? Now those, all these desires, they're in there and they're fighting with each other. Now do you understand how important it is for a Christian to begin to recognize the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Because part of my process of becoming like Jesus involves walking into these moments and asking the question, Spirit, which of these desires is coming from you? Because I know that if I let the other desire, the desire of the flesh, win in that moment, it might feel good for about that long. And then I will immediately begin to deal with the consequences. But if I pray and I stop and I think and I actually ask the question, what do I most want to do? It's almost certainly the desire that your Spirit is presenting. That's the thing I really want to do because He's in me and He's desiring in me. And then I pray and I stop and I think and I ask, what is the desire the Spirit is presenting? Okay, I want that desire to push out the others. Isn't it interesting that when we think about holiness, we typically only think about the stuff we need to cut out of our lives, right? It's like the gardener who all he does is pulls the weeds, but he never plants anything beautiful. See, that's not what the Spirit is like. When the Spirit indwells you, the Spirit begins to send all of these godly, Christ-focused desires. He doesn't just tell you to yank stuff out. He says, no, no, no. It's the holiness is about what I'm going to add to your heart through my desiring. And brother and sister in Christ, can I make you a promise? Your greatest joy will come when you begin to live in the desires that the Spirit is presenting. Amen? That is like a gospel truth, your greatest joy. I'm going to say the last one briefly. It's going to get us ready for communion. And it's, so we have the Spirit directs, we have the Spirit desires, and there's one more, the Spirit delivers. And this is verse 18. Paul says, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Under the law. It's a very interesting phrase. And actually, when you're reading it, you wouldn't have expected Paul to say anything about the law because he's been talking about the Spirit and the flesh. In fact, you would have expected him to say, if you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the flesh. But Paul has a different thing he wants to talk about now. He wants to say that when the Spirit indwells a person, they become liberated, delivered from the sin and the brokenness and the bondage of their old nature. And Paul had been fighting in the Galatian churches legalism. It was like a form of Christian legalism. He had come into the churches and he had preached the gospel and he said, all that a person has to do to be saved is to put their faith in Christ. They're justified by faith alone, not by the works of the law. And then there were men and some women who came in after Paul and said, yeah, Christ is great, but also now you have to get circumcised and you have to start obeying parts of the law. And their desire was to bring all these Christian people right back under the oppressive weight of law and legalism. And Paul said, why in the world would you want to go back under the law when the Spirit has delivered you into freedom and grace and faith in Christ and in Christ alone? He's delivered you. He's delivered you. So Paul says, a person who's led by the Spirit is no longer under the law. And this is an interesting phrase, because Paul's not saying that you don't actually end up fulfilling the law. You do, but you fulfill the law because you want to. The Spirit changes your heart. The Spirit adds his desires. You're following the Spirit, and suddenly you look at your life, and it's like all this fruit starts growing. Love, joy, peace. Paul said, did you know the whole law is fulfilled in this one thing? Love your neighbor. Person's filled with the Spirit. They're following the Spirit. Fruit starts popping up, and they're going, I wasn't even trying to obey the law. I was just trying to follow Christ by the Spirit. Okay. Here's what I'm going to finish with. When people tell me their testimony, and they talk about how Jesus saved them, one of the things I hear all the time is I hear people say, one of the things that happened first was that I became aware of the fact that my life felt like bondage. I felt like a burden. It felt like I was carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. And there was like a heaviness. And I started to realize that heaviness is I'm trying to do this on my own. Even things that are spiritual, I'm trying to do it on my own. And I felt as if the Spirit making me aware that I was under, you know, almost like in chains. And part of the process of my salvation was the Spirit freeing me by uniting me to Jesus. Suddenly, I'm free. Look at Galatians 5:1 real quick. Just look at your Bible. What does Paul say? He says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You're free in Christ, and the Spirit is the one who wrought that freedom. I have a feeling, and I feel the Spirit doing it in this moment in our sanctuary, that there are many who are realizing that is me. I'm burdened. And I'm burdened because I'm trying to do this on my own. And what's going to happen is we're going to go to the table. And Eric's going to lead us in a song, and we're going to walk to the table, and you're going to get a cup, and you're going to get the bread, and we'll worship, and then you'll return to your seat. And here's what I would like to suggest that happens for you. For many of you, this will be a moment of gratitude where you say, Lord, these represent the heart of the gospel. The bread represents the body of Christ, which he gave freely when he hung on a cross in my place. The blood represents the new covenant in his blood, which was spilled for the forgiveness of my sins. For many of us, this will be a moment of gratitude and thanks and celebration. But it's very probable that for some of you this morning, this is the moment of your salvation. This is the moment for the first time when you take the bread and you take the cup. It's a commitment of faith where you turn your life over to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and the Spirit sets you free. And how I pray that happens for you this morning. It's one of Jesus's greatest gifts in your life. I'm going to pray for you right now. Eric's going to come lead us in the singing, and we'll go to the table. Will you bow your heads? Take a minute. In the quiet of your heart, I want to encourage you to listen for a moment. As you've listened today, have you felt the Spirit wanting to direct you somehow? I don't know what that could be. Maybe it's a habit that you've taken on that is not really helping your growth in Christ, and He's been nudging and directing, and it's probably been gentle because He's so gentle and loving, but just saying, I want you to walk away from that thing. Maybe it's a attitude you've been carrying around in your heart in a relationship with someone you love. Maybe it's an attitude you've been carrying around towards the church somehow, or church in general, that He's just saying, I want you to let go of that. And maybe as you've listened this morning, you've really sensed the Spirit presenting you with a new desire too. And you've sensed this is His desire, and He's wanting it to become my number one desire. Maybe it's the desire to be more humble in your relationship with your spouse. Maybe it's the desire to be forgiving for some reason in a relationship with someone where you felt hurt. Maybe it's the desire to invest in someone. Or listen to someone. We just listen to Him this morning and receive those things and thank Him for it. And then say, Spirit, I want to follow You. I want to follow You. Make me more like Jesus, I pray. We love You, Lord. We're reminded as we go to the table, this is a very significant family moment. Families eat meals together. So remind us as we get the bread and the cup to do it in gratitude, to do it together. We pray these things in the perfect name of Your Son, Jesus. All God's people said, amen, amen. Eric will lead us, and when the music starts, there are communion stations to my left and my right in the back. Leave your seat, go, get the bread, get the cup, return to your seat, and pray, hold that. Eric will lead us in a moment in the eating and the drinking. God bless you, River West. Follow the Spirit today. He wants to lead you.
We bless You, Creator, Provider.